G'day guys and welcome to another episode of the Scouting Australia podcast powered by Australian Property Scout Buyers Agency. I'm your host Sammy Gordon and I'm joined by my regular co-host, all-round good bloke, not good looking but a legend, Mr. Jimmy Ibrahim. Mate, wow, how are you?
What an intro. Yes, I'm very good.
That's
I'm
good.
Very good.
Mate, I'm excited. I know you're about to say you're excited. You're Big Kev, known as Big Kev in another life.
I'm excited.
We have a very special guest on the show today.
We do.
The lovely lady, she's Jackie Skeen, also known as the best property manager in Australia.
In Australia. Woo!
Awarded by Jimmy and I.
Maybe Australasia. We'll give you Australasia. The Asian region as well.
Just give her the world, mate. She's the best.
I'll take it.
Jackie, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
No worries at all. Guys, you probably have heard here and there Jimmy and I talk about different property managers. We've given the flick, we've cut, we've had issues with before, and we take them over to now the property manager that we consider the best in the biz and someone that we literally use within our own portfolio, and that is the lovely Jackie Skeen herself. So it's awesome to get you on the show. Now, we wanted to cover a topic today that we think is really relevant because a lot of people make bad decisions around who to hire as a property manager. Obviously, you can't cover the whole world as much as Superwoman.
Yeah,
you have a crack. But this is a podcast of breaking down like how to pick the best property manager and really, I guess, diving into your mind as to how you would pick one if you were to go out there and pick one for yourself in a different location to where you operate.
Definitely a big decision because essentially you want to pick someone that you're going to, when you go into that decision, it's like okay, I'm going to hold this property for 15 years. I want this person to be with me through that whole journey. So don't rush into it as well. I think word of mouth, obviously, obviously if you're recommended by a buyer's agent or someone along those lines, they're tried and tested.
Yeah.
That is...
Do you mind? Okay, sweet. Well, guys, thank you for listening and tuning to another episode. Jackie's nailed it on the head.
She was good.
She was good. She's good. You know it.
She's a woman of few words, but she's very
next
good.
One, guys.
She's more action.
Hey, all the jittering around before, you got me stressed.
No, it takes a lot to rattle this woman, ladies and gentlemen, because speaking from my personal my experience, sorry, Jax, you've been great for my portfolio. I know you were working with Sammy early days and then you helped me correct a lot of the issues. So this series, I mean, getting experts on, and we love to tackle the experts to really pick their brain to give a lot of value to our listeners, because the listeners, depending on where they're at in their journey, sometimes people have got multiple properties, some people are just starting out, some people don't know what a property manager does. I mean, they've got a rough idea. So we're trying to cover a whole bunch of different information for our listeners out there.
Right? I think, Jimmy, one of the really important things to note is like, different people are experts at different things, you know? And you've asked me before in the past, like, oh, are you ever going to open your own property management arm? And people ask me about brokerage arms and all these different shits. And it's like, I'm extremely good at buying property, right? Like that's what I know I'm extremely good at. I don't want to go and try and dabble in all these other things. I prefer to employ people that are exceptional at what they do, work with those people, create great relationships with those people, and let them take care of what they're great at. And I'll go take care of what I'm great at. Yeah, sorry, mate.
I was going to say, that's a really good point because I always find it interesting when certain buyer's agents, I know this is the Scouting Australia podcast, but with Australian Property Scout, when people try and sell that it's all a one-stop shop, you've got to really question how good people really are for all of those different elements. So why not find someone who's really good at one thing and get someone else who's really good at their field? And I think that's the great balance that we're sort of struck here at Australian 100%. Property Scout is getting really good people to help our clients.
And I think that's one of the things that you and I always tout, we always talk about, because people, I remember when I used to do discovery calls, you obviously do my disco calls now, but like you jump on and people would go, oh, well, what kickbacks are there? Who's paying you what? You know what I mean? And it's like, I didn't get paid anything. You know what I mean? Like for me, it's like, part of working with us and the great service we do, we put you onto the right people. They're going to be able to manage your property to an extremely high level. Conveyances are going to be able to do an exceptional job for you. I don't want to take a little $50, $100 clip here and there of all these little things. It's like, just give the discount to the client, do a great service, happy days, no issues, you know? And I love that. And you're also impacting the level of service they're going to give the client if you're trying to take a little clip on everything that they're doing as well. I think that's a great point, Jimmy, and a really good one to I guess, start with. But if we're talking about starting and where it's all sort of come from, I'd love to know, Jackie, because I know you passed, but obviously the listeners may not. In terms of what you've done previously in property yourself and why property management, why did you get into property management? Because it's a very like unglamorous role, right? Like it's pretty much, a lot of people like carry on about property managers. There's not a lot of respect and love for them unless you've been doing it for a while and you know how important they are. They are literally, though, one of the most important people in your journey, because they're the ones going to make this thing a headache or a nightmare, or it's going to be a great journey because you've got the right person. So if you wouldn't mind, give us, I get a bit of a backstory on yourself. How did you get into property management? What else have you done in property?
Yeah, so 2012 started when I was 17 in real estate, started as a sales PA. So, you know, principal, you go around and do the open houses and everything.
Cool.
And worked for them for about a year. And I found, you know, you're on like $400 a week and you're doing 6 days. And I was meant to
That's
get
what Jimmy's on.
Yeah. The dream. So I was meant to get some like kickbacks for selling houses, didn't eventuate. And then they had a property management arm in that office. And they were like, hey, they started poaching me. They were bringing my favorite drinks. And they're like, hey, have you considered property management? Maybe now. So they eventually offered me the role. I was on like $800 a week, take home car. And then my plan from the beginning was I'm going to master property management, know everything about investment and every side, which not a lot of people go into it with the intention of I'm going to come in and master this.
Mm.
And then I wanted to eventually go back into sales because sales is like buyer's agent as well. It's like fun. You're doing deals, you're 100%. On the ground. Like it's good fun. And now that I run my own agency, I get to do that as well.
Yeah, do both sides of the coin, right?
Yeah, so work my way up. I was like a senior by 20, 21. I look back now, I'm like, you were not senior. You just had the role. Because it all comes with experience as well. The longer you do it, the more times you've had the situation, then you're like, okay, I know how to tackle this. Issue.
Yeah,
because you have the same, like, you have a portfolio of properties, but there are some issues that I've only had once or twice ever.
Yep.
So the first time you have them, very overwhelming. Second time, you're like, that's easy. We just did this.
Leveling up as a property manager. Beautiful.
So did that and worked at a couple of different agencies, worked at a big franchise for 4.5 years. And then I did consulting. So I've got 2 young kids and I would go and essentially be a consultant and they'd say, here's the portfolio, fix it in 8 weeks. And that was fun as well because you just go in and it's like there's 800 maintenance requests and all these leases overdue and you just pump it and you're just like, dum, dum, dum. So did that and it was funny because I had everything ready to go to start the real estate in January 2020.
Yep.
I didn't open it until like August, September 2021 because I was temping somewhere and then COVID came in and then they're like, hey, you want to work from home full time, it's going to be secure. We don't know what's happening with COVID. And I was like, yeah, do that. And it's funny, I look back, it's like, oh, I should have just started. But then, you know, it wasn't meant to be at that time. And then, and I also lacked the confidence. I was like, oh, I'm not going to get any managements. I'm like going to have 10 managements for a year. And yeah, but it's been the opposite. So
yeah, it's been some pretty crazy growth. Hey, and I know a lot of people like Jimmy and I both, like we're super impressed by the service. You know, anyone that comes to ask if they have issues with other PMs and stuff, you know, at this point, we're always referring back over to you as well because the level of service and something I want to dive into a little bit, which is very different, is you aren't like a normal property manager. Like so often, how many times Jimmy has Jackie negotiated our rents up, like on a lease, you know, you put the rent up for something for lease and then you've actually negotiated more than what we put it up at. And it's just like, it's an unheard of thing, you know? And that's what I love. Like I love that part of the game as well, which I know you love.
I see it as a game as well, which I think it's not, but it's like, you know, when you can impress your clients and say, hey, we actually got this increase and they're like, wow, you get raving fans and it's fun. And rather than so many people, and you'll find that most property managers won't increase the rent because they are hard conversations to have. Yeah. Like you're calling someone like I did one the other day. They're paying $670, took it over as a management. The client was about to sign on with us and he's like, hey, the real estate's offered a lease at $680.
Yeah.
I was like, abort, get rid of it. Don't send it. Please. I know I'll get you way more. Just stop.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, I trust you. Bring it on. Offered the lease at $900 per week. Tenant came back and said $750. I came back and said $850 and he signed $850. $180
Wow. From $680 up to
and
bloody.
And the agent was going to lock it in. And it's unfortunate. I sit so often and it does.
$170 bucks a week. That's almost 10 grand a year. This is like $8,500 a year in lost rent. That guy, like you've more than paid for your, by far, how many times over?
People come to me and they're like, oh, will you negotiate on fees? I'm like, no, because my fees are free because I get you such big increases.
And it's
like,
true. Yeah. It's true.
So would you say that that is the biggest reason why the other property managers don't push the higher rents is because they don't like that conversation?
Okay. They don't like the conversation. they don't get incentivized for it. So if you work as a property manager, you're on a salary, it's pretty shit, the salary as well. Like, I think it should be more, but obviously that's reflection of the business model and the
We're
fees.
We're talking big companies, right?
Like, yeah. The big boys in the game. And they don't want to have hard conversations, and it's a KPI. It's like, I'm going to get this lease back, I'm going to get it signed, and it's done.
Yeah, and there's no work. It's easy. I don't have to have any hard conversations. Yeah.
Like, it's not nice calling someone and saying, having those, but it's also unprecedented. It's not like we've had these increases every year. It's like once in a 10-year thing. And
it's been a really good run the last couple of years, or last year, 12, 24 months.
Yeah, but also in the property manager's defense, because I was an employee once as well, it's like, you're already under the pump. Like, at a time, when I was working for a big franchise, we were doing 350 properties and I had two full-time assistants.
Yeah, right.
That's so you can just imagine the calls and emails you get with that. And it's, you just pretty much.
Touching on that for a sec then, what's your, and this is, I guess, one of the first things of how to pick the best property. Like, what do you recommend is like an ideal amount? Obviously, there's an ideal amount per person, and that will always depend on the level of the person, right? Whether a junior, senior, or you know, top of the line like yourself. What do you think is that ultimate sort of number that someone should not really stray over in terms of managements per person?
It's hard to say because there's so many variables. Where are the properties? Okay. Like, we're pretty specific, as in we don't take on, like, we got a few north side ones only for multi-owner clients. If they've got properties and they want to keep them all with us, we'll only do that. So we only have about six or seven on the north side.
Yeah. One is Jimmy's, right?
One is Jimmy's.
Well, that's what I said. Jackie was so good with my properties in the concentrated area that up north, that one that I have had, that the agent was just, I mean, there were so many issues that agent, they were going to charge me $350 for changing a light or something. And I said to the property manager, are you serious? I went on Hipages the next day, got someone to do it for a 170, sent it to her, and she had nothing to say. And I just went, nah, your days are numbered. That's it. Done. And so Jackie... Yeah, because I just thought
she woke up the next day with a horse's head in a bed. Well, here we go.
I am Lebanese, so
that's Italian.
That's
he's also Italian.
Yeah, I'm both. The worst kind.
You're dead to me. So, your day's numbered.
Yes, and I'll get my cousins.
Expect a horse head.
So I just thought, come on. I mean, seriously, what are you doing? And so I suppose those kind of things.
That's just laziness, man. That's just like, all right, I'm going to send out maintenance requests. Someone's going to go quote it. It's going to come back. I'll flick it on to the owner. That's just laziness, you know.
It's you not have working. To have like your good trades as well. And like I've developed like my painter. I've used him for 5 years.
Yep.
My plasterer, 5 years. My
Well, that's something that I was expecting you to touch on before, because you used to run a renovation company as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I started a company, Outsourced Property Services, which I started the company originally because I was struggling to find a part-time senior property manager role after I had my son. And I was like, we just bought our house. It was a renovator's delight shithole. And I learned a lot from it. But what I found that property managers didn't have was a trusted advisor to say, hey, this tenant's abandoned, there's rubbish everywhere, the yard's overgrown, there's plastering to be done. Send them a work order, we pick up the keys, we bring the property back, it's perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
So that was really fun and I loved that business and I ended up selling it at the end of 2019. And it's a great business model, but what is crap with it was cash flow because property managers don't pay on time. So that was and we were floating huge amounts of money.
Yeah, because big renos, right? Each thing's a big, big cleanup, and then it's a reno.
And you pay my trades fortnightly.
So
I'd pay them and then I'd get 15 grand profit 1 month and then nothing for, 6 weeks. And it was brutal.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It was, and I did diversify it in like some private work and this and that and a bit of cash here and there. But brutal. So it taught me a lot about business, taught me a lot about employees, because at any one time we generally had like 15 to 19 subcontractors that worked like full time pretty much for us.
Yep.
And I still talk to those people, like some of them I'm like still really close with.
Yep.
But it taught me, taught me about the business, it showed me also the inside of real estates, because we work for about 65 real estates in Logan. Shit. So I've seen, it's so funny because sometimes I get on managements and I've been there and I'm like, oh, we did that.
No way.
I was like, well, that paint job's not. So it's good because it was mainly around Logan.
Yep.
But if I could do that, like start another company, I'd change so many things. It's like a learning curve in business where you're like, look back and you're like,
you know what, we're gonna as we go along today, there's gonna be some gems, and I think we just point them out as we go, because I've already heard
you point them out, because we don't have to worry about pointing any yours. As you point out when we give them, just let us know when they come through.
Well, just because I can listen, unlike yourself. So the first one was all around the incentive. And I think that when you're looking for a property manager, yeah. like you, obviously you own your own business. So having a conversation with you and when someone says to you, well, why are you going to look after my properties? Mm. And I remember you said specifically, it's because I own the business and it's more incentive for me to get you the best possible rent because I make more money. Yeah. To me, it was like, well, that's done. That's tick.
That's one of the biggest things that I will always ask. It's like, okay, I'm speaking to you, right? Because obviously with Jackie, she manages all my stuff in Brizzy. But you go outside of Brizzy in Southeast Queensland and you got to take it to someone else. It's like, you start speaking to a BDM. Okay, no worries. Who is actually going to be managing my property? Yes. And that's what's really important to know. Like, who is it? It's like, oh, good, no worries. You're speaking to a BDM. They get paid when you sign on. You know, that's their incentive. But then who's going to manage it after that? Mm. And that's always one of my first questions. Like, okay, no worries. Who am I speaking to? Like, you know, who am I actually going to be managing my property? Because that's what I want to know.
Yeah. Exactly. First question you want to be asking, that specific question.
Who manages the property?
That's it.
Who's the team behind it as well? Because often there's a couple of different ways. Ours is like a hybrid between both of them, but it's like portfolio where they have 100 properties they look after start to finish.
Yep.
What I don't like about that is if you've been in the industry 10, 20, 15 years, you become a master at high value things.
Yes.
It's a waste of your time to be sending
the tedious
admin stuff. Yeah, and that's what always bothered me. And that's why I loved having a business with an assistant because it's like, not that it's beneath me, but
you take care of the high level shit. No, you take care of the high level shit. You bring people in and you achieve top rents and then other people manage it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually what I love about what you do.
Yeah. And that's the, and I do fluctuate. Like I've always thought about it. It's like, is there a better system of doing it? But it's like, I always come back to the and that's why the senior deals with the owners.
Mm.
The junior shouldn't ever really be in contact with an owner unless it's a tricky one as well.
So the second one then that came out is we're talking about kickbacks earlier on.
Mm.
Do certain property managers get a kickback from having preference of trades that so they're making margins?
Oh, interesting.
Okay, 100%.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. For the listeners out there, the reason why I'm pointing that out is that should be one of your questions.
Yeah.
Who are you getting?
I feel like Jackie was about to tell us a story. Go on. Yeah.
Go on, Jack.
Good on you, Jimmy. But anyway.
Just the first roast of the day.
She's good. We said good.
She's sharp. She's sharp. Jimmy's she's not sharp. That, as blunt as a wizard staff.
I was. And
you're round.
This is the only place I've ever been fired from in my life. And I work for this. And I got fired because I wasn't following.
Are we going to name and shame? No, don't.
There is a disclaimer. Anything you hear on the scanning.
This is not financial advice or any liability. Send it all to Jackie at Lake Realty.
So I worked for them. And at the time, my husband was doing handyman stuff. Yep. And I was like, oh, how do I go back and get him signed up? He'll help me out and make me look better by sorting out issues. And they're like, yeah, get him to sign this form. So no conversation or anything. She just forwarded him this form and it said clear as day, 20% of the invoice price, so you charge $100, 20% has to be 120, gets paid back to blah, blah, real estate. And it's like even if they'd invoiced but not been paid, you still had to pay them their 20%.
Oh, wow.
So that's what little cocky me. I got that and I was like, all right, fuck yeah. Because I always care about like the owners. And it's like it's – I love seeing the owners succeed as well. So I'm like, I'm not going to F these people over. I'll calm down.
Get fired up. I love it. It's normally just me. No one else gets fired up around. It is like a little dog sleeping in the corner.
It's actually a really you put me to sleep.
You do have anger issues, Dan.
And there is the bull shark.
Well.
He's thrashing in the shallows now, folks. A couple of
bites going around too, guys.
Jackie, you might have to stand back a bit. You might start biting.
Go on, sit on that side of the table, mate. Go on, keep going.
So anyway, get this contractor form. My husband, and he's like very principle based. He's like, absolutely not doing that.
Yeah.
And it's like, at this time, this was the last real estate I worked at before I went out on my own. So I was like, YOLO. So I emailed the whole portfolio and they'd already said initially, don't ever email all the owners anything. And this is coming up to that 2022 smoke alarm thing.
Yes.
And this is like early 2021, to get sorted. And I knew what they were putting in place with this 20% referral. So I emailed them all and I said, hey, this price is 109, this price is 119, and this price is this. I recommend this price, just send me a go. Oh, and I also send that email. If I don't hear back from you in 14 days, I'm going to get it done working in your best interest. So I got about 70 replies out of like 102 saying, sweet, sorted out.
Yep.
And then, I got called to the office.
Yeah, because there's no kickbacks on it, right?
Yeah, there's no kickbacks on that. And then you know what's even stupider? And this is why they won't succeed in business and why their real estate sucks. is.
But this is a common problem for a lot of companies, right? Oh. Like a lot of people do this. I know we're talking
about
one
specific. Too much about double dips.
I know, it just bloody shits me. I mean, that's such a short-sighted approach. And this goes back to what you're talking about, you know, just digressing, about trying to get a kickback and all these things. Like, do you really think that's going to work?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so narrow-minded.
I can't even be bothered. You know what I mean? Like, just focus on what you're good at. Don't worry about all the little clips here and there, because you're going to, you know, you'll make more just worrying about the right things and people who appreciate the right things being done.
But even if you could be bothered, it's still the laws of the universe will not reward you, because you're doing the wrong thing. But that's what I mean, though,
bro. How much headspace does it take up of yours knowing you're fucking someone over behind the scenes? You know what I mean? Even if they're little clips here and there, little clips from everyone. Who cares, man? What's the point?
I know. And you know, it's like I sleep like a fucking baby at night because I don't fuck anyone over. Yeah, and I always like to do what's right.
I have to check my invoices from Jackie. Jackie's the one person you can trust. This is a massive gem. How do you approach this with a property manager about kickbacks?
It's meant to be disclosed in the Form 6 legally.
But you know those Form 6s that have a bit of fugazi. It's like there may be a time.
Jimmy's are written a little bit different from most, but
it's a bit. Addendum. It's a bit,
you know, in 48C V1. Like, I mean, no one, you know.
Yeah, refer to the third page, it does say. But who knows? It just be.
Is it a conversation? Is it a?
I don't know, because I also don't like micromanaging of your PM thinking that they're fucking you over behind the scenes.
Okay, even just to cut that, right? Let's just cut straight through all the fat.
Yeah.
Second question, do you get any kickbacks? Do you just close? Yeah, do you get any kickbacks? Do you just close your kickbacks? Bang, that question's done.
And can you also say to them on that, if I find out that there is any kickbacks, we'll terminate this agreement straight away?
Yeah.
Can you make that? Can you say that to your property manager?
Yeah, you can terminate any time 30 days notice in Queensland regardless, and you could probably do it effective immediately if there's issues like that. The problem is it's like, who's to say the handyman's not coming in giving them a $200 Visa gift card or, you know, that kind of stuff.
I think if anything, though, it kind of holds people a little bit more accountable. You know what I mean? It's in the sense of like, it might put people on edge in that sense as well. Yeah, on notice. Mm. There you go. You're on notice. You're on notice, son.
And just be mindful of realistic prices. Because if you get a clothesline invoice and it's like $900,
say to them, I've never had to say this to you, but I'm just talking for the listeners. Could you say to them, look, if I find a quote that's 30-40% cheaper on hipages by literally logging in one thing, you're on notice? Like, seriously. I mean, do your job. Like, no, not asking too much. Am I being too hard? I mean.
Go on, Jackie, what were you going to say?
I don't know, because.
It's also got to be a trusted person, right? Trusted trade.
It feels like if you're already at that stage, you're already done.
Yeah, 100%. If you're already doing that. So you should be able to know and like decipher the bullshit. And something I always ask is I will normally, depending on the size of the job, I'll always ask for at least two quotes. Three quotes sometimes it can be a bit excessive. You see two quotes come through, you should know pretty well, are these in the ballpark of what something should cost? If you get one quote through, they just send you one quote and it looks ridiculous, then you smell a rat straight away. You know what I mean? And that's where you should be.
Well, it's interesting. So a property in regional that recently bought, I think the bond claim might have come back at $900. And I said, dude, are you serious? Like $900 for how? This is a small house. What are they doing? Second quote, 400.
Yeah, right.
That's a cowboy industry bond cleaners though. Like that is, and we did bond cleans in the renovation company, and that was like a reason I've sold it.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it's so hard. Like I'd physically help them do it, and it's like you're there for 12 hours, and you still get a call back.
All
right. So we've covered kickbacks. That's a decent one.
You know what I'd say though. I know you're running through yours here. I want to know what Jackie would ask.
Oh, yeah.
If you went and bought a property, let's say in Sydney or in Perth or wherever. No, not down
Melbourne.
There. No one wants to go down there.
What's your guttering like for the rain?
Mordor. We call this place from. Go on. What would you be saying? What would you be asking? What's the questions that you'd ask?
Yeah.
Yeah. Finding out the team structure.
Okay.
How do they go about lease renewals?
Okay.
And how do they decipher the price for lease renewals? What's the process with the initial leasing? Because
I was going to say, okay, and what answer do you want to look for though? Because it's like they're the questions. Yeah, what answer do you want to look for?
I think
for?
We've covered team structure because that was good.
Team structure.
But lease renewals, that's a really
lease
important
renewals,
one.
Lease renewals, so you'd want them to say something along the lines of, we look at what's currently on the market and we compare it to, you know, we provide a CMA and We
CMA, just for
a comparable market analysis.
Great.
So on. Yep, very well done. My words. Very well done.
So
Jimmy was genuinely curious. He didn't know the answer to that.
I didn't.
Yeah, no, that's okay. We'll be slow for Jimmy.
Thank you. That's why we hired you.
There's a gem. There's a gem. There's a rock and there's a gem. Yeah, go on.
So you would want them to be coming to you with the evidence.
Yep.
Because a lot of property managers will just come and say, hey, $10 a week, not because of any reason.
It does actually does my head in when people come and say at the moment, because you're just like, bro, the market is moving so much. Don't bring me $10 a week. I can look online. It's $50 a week minimum. Don't bring me $10 a week.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
So you need to, you can provide a CMA and then also some links, because like even clients ask me, what's it going to rent for this week, Jackie? I'm like, I'll have a look on realestate.com in real life time.
Yes.
But this is what's on, because sometimes you get a couple of really high price ones and it's like, okay, now we've got comparables.
We'll have a crack. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
you are the queen of having a crack.
Oh, queen of having. And I said, but you set the expectation. It's like, hey, we're going to start at 465. And then if in a week it's not happening, we'll drop it.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it might happen. And if it does, let's, you know.
100%. Yeah. I honestly, like, I'm on it. That's why I was saying before in terms of like negotiating and stuff like that. Like, I always get the story. Someone texts me, oh my God, I can't believe you used to text me when you get to, this is Jimmy, obviously different things. But like when you get these results back that are way above people's expectations initially, but you always got to set the realistic expectation of like, look, this is a top end of what we could do. This is what I know I can get. This is top end. Let's have a crack at this for a week. If it doesn't, we're going to drop it to this, you know, and explaining, breaking it down like that. You've got the ability to hit that. Like I've seen you firsthand hit that multiple times. But you kind of want that in someone, right? To have a bit of doggedness in him, have a bit of a crack.
There's two parts to that really jump out at me. The first one is what you said. I mean, for people listening, the property manager will reveal how good they are when they do the lease renewal, right? If they're not giving you any comparables, you know, they're just coming back with $5 or $10.
Mm.
That's a first trigger or alarm for you to say, you know what, this is not working.
Yeah.
Second one though, when you come to me and probably to Sam and you come in with a high price and you say, look, this is what we can do. The thing that I love and another red flag for people to keep a lookout for is, let's just say we price it at $685, for example. If nothing is happening, it's not for the owner to call you up and go, so what? Where are we at? And is a week's already gone.
Are we going to drop rent or like are we just going to hold it this for another month?
So the property manager to come promptly after a day or two and go, you know what? I've changed it to this because of we're not getting, there's been no interest.
Mm.
That is management. That's what I love about you do.
I always say I row my own boat because I'm like a cowboy out there. I'll just do what needs to be done and come back to you because we work in the best interest of the owner.
That's right.
So it's like, it's not doing anyone any favors being vacant.
Mm.
It's not going to happen because we're not just going to put willy-nilly people in.
Yeah, there you go.
and yeah, so we should always like, what frustrates me about the industry as well is us coming to you as an investor when you've got kids, you're running businesses, you're busy, and us coming to you and saying, hey, what do you want to do? It's like, no.
Fuck, that is my biggest gripe. When people go, oh, it's coming out for renewal. What do you want to do with it? Don't ask me what I want to do with it, mate. That's what I'm paying you for.
Well, that's exactly why I got rid of the other agent. It used to do my head in. It was like, why are you going to make me go on realestate.com to do all of your analysis to then advise you? I'm like, what are you doing?
Okay. Can I ask though, actually back to the question, what answer are you 100% are you looking for out of this? When you ask that question, what's your process around lease renewals? What's the answer you're looking for? Because that's what we want, good, right? Cool.
So I want someone to come back to me and say, we increase it to the market value every time it's up for renewal.
Okay.
And we issue a notice to leave with that lease offer so that you're protected and-
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Nice. Notice to leave at the same time you issue that. Okay, beautiful.
Tick.
Very nice.
Lease renewal.
I like that.
Great negotiation tactic. Get out.
Gem. There's
and
a gem.
There is a gem.
Are you not going to spot the gems? I've got to do both.
I thought you might do something.
Yeah, right.
So that was actually a good one. And also for
if
for,
he does say so himself.
It was okay. For our listeners out there, if your property manager is going for high rent and nothing's happening in the first, when should they really adjust it?
A week.
Yeah.
A week.
Give it a week.
Go high a week.
Yeah.
And then because you don't want it to get stale on the market and definitely people not. Like, what's wrong with that house? It's been on for. Yeah. And also our days on market are really important. So I like to keep it like 9-10 days on market max. Mm.
Okay. So you drop, because you know in the first week, if you don't have the inquiry, you know you're overpriced. People aren't there at the moment that'll pay that, which can happen, and then you've got to realign with market value. Get it rented.
I'd say a week if it's vacant. Yep. If we do, because we do a lot of lease renewals, but we provide 30 days notice, yes, which I like, because then you have 30 days to play with.
Yep.
That's when you go super ambitious.
Yep.
A week and a half, 2 weeks max, and then you'd adjust it to what you need to. But you know, this is how I always explain it to my clients anyway. $685 a week, people see it. They star it on realestate.com. They keep looking. They see it 2 weeks later. You drop it to $660, they're like, it's a bargain. We're saving $25. Yeah, it's like, I price this property at $620.
That's good. That's true.
The
That's
key nice. Of having a really like good that. Property manager, like say you, Jackson, and you're obviously the owner of your business.
I love
you're
the strategy owner. Of this. Sorry, man, I need to. I love a strategy of that.
I do. But I think for people listening, be wary who you're engaging. They might not be investors themselves. So they're not seeing the bigger picture of what you're trying to achieve.
They've got to be capable of actually doing this.
They have to be, but would you still check just in case?
Check what?
The comparables at all?
I would not. Like especially depending on the size of your portfolio, where you own it.
Out of curiosity, right?
Yeah. So like I you guys would know this, I cluster my properties, right? I think you manage about 15 odd of mine, right? So I cluster my deals. So I know what things rent for in a certain area. Yeah. Mm. I know what a granny should rent for. I know what a house should rent for. High set, a low set, this, that, all the rest. I know what they should rent for. When you have a smaller portfolio, you should still have an overview of what a property should rent for in that area. It's the same as where I own property all over the country. I cluster, I know what those things should rent for. If something's coming up for a lease renewal or there's multiples coming up, you just want to be quick check, see what things market value is, make sure it's aligning with where your property. You've got to be smart as well. Right? You can't be an idiot.
It takes 20 seconds to get on and do that. Because that's what I have seen clients and they've come on, they're renewed at 370. I'm like, market value is 490.
Yeah.
And you don't want to have too much trust where it's like, just do whatever.
Do your own thing.
I love that you actually say that because it's so funny. The only person I never check anymore is for you, because you'll bring me something and I'm like, that seems too much. You know, it's like, I'm not going to go bother cheap. That seems too much. And then you'll rent it for that or more. And I'm like, okay, that just does my head in. You know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy.
Some owners, they're like, you lost the plot. Like, yeah. Maybe, I think.
Seriously.
But the great thing is,
she loves setting records.
I know, but it is in her incentive as well. Yes. That's the great thing.
It's in her best interest.
I love the business model because one, we don't have to chase for money because we get it from the rent. Yeah, so we just have to chase the rent.
Yeah.
And two, we get a percentage. So for example, that rent increase I did for 180 or 170 or whatever it was like $980 to my income per year.
Without just you doing deal. Anything.
No, I negotiated.
No, I'm saying other than that, I mean, that's the juice is worth a squeeze.
I'm going to dive into something here. I was going to leave this for the end, this question, right? Mm. But I think it's a really important time to bring it in, because I was going to ask you about management fees. Because I know a lot of people in the industry, especially with where you're based, will drop down to quite low management fees, right? I'll let you tell people if they inquire with you in terms of what you charge and all the rest of it. If you mention Scouting Australia podcast, there may be a little discount on you, for you if you do that. But what I actually love, and the reason I wanted to bring it up, guys, is everyone wants to try and negotiate a property manager. It is one of the only people, probably actually the only person, I don't negotiate with if I know they're good. So when Jackie told me her price when I was bringing things over, I was like, you know what? That's fair. I know what she's going to rent my properties for, especially when I brought a first couple over, and then you gave me a little bit of a discount on the next ones. And I was like, I really don't care. And she's like, no, I want to look after you. I literally said, I don't care, because the rental difference of what I was getting from one property manager to her, on my granny's, it was 40, 50, 60 bucks a week per granny. Right. And then on the houses, some of them were $100, $150 as a rental increase, like straight away. So I think like, and that's why I want to ask your opinion and how you, I guess, explain this to people. Because for me, when it comes to property management, 1% or even 2% on a $400 a week rental, right? 1% is $4 a week. It's $200 a year. At 2%, it's $8 a week. It's $400 a year, which $8 a week sounds like a little bit, right? I think. But like $400 a year, if you just get that leased out 1 week earlier, it's paid for. If you get an extra $20, $40 a week, like how much does that compound into an actual return on that front? And also like the stress less of having properties with you that I have compared to other people. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what I literally said. You're the only person I don't ask or question, what do you think in terms of rent? You just lease them these days. You don't even ask me anymore, because it'll take long to get back to you. Then you get more than I tell you to get for me anyway. So fucking,
I don't even speak to you anymore. I'm just going to your assistant.
Do you get haggled on fees?
Yeah, I do. And you know what's so fun? Because you go, you go, they come back and they're like, oh, Jackie, will you do this, do that?
Yeah, yeah.
And now, when I first started the business, I would, because it's like you got to take what you can get and build it up that way to a sustainable level. But now I say no, and they come back and they love it and they want to negotiate more. And I'm like, I'm not doing it, because there's a certain – and the figure is $1,500 per year is the absolute minimum it costs to manage a property in Australia.
Costs to manage
staffing, not office.
Not to make, that's to cost, to break even.
So example, if you're paying 7.7 on like 450, it's probably like $1,800.
Yeah, right.
So maybe there's $300 profit. But what does that profit go towards? Like your branding and those kind of things. So I like it to be 2,000 to 2,500
Probably depending on the property, how much work it's going to be as well.
Yeah, depends on, and that the client sense. As well. I'm very selective. Yeah. It's like I only got so many hours in the day. I only want to deal with clients like.
So when are you telling Jimmy that you're cutting him?
It's in the mail.
Hey, look at see you later, silver dog.
There is a bit of maintenance work to be done.
Yeah, his pockets are
dust. His pockets are dust. Yes,
come back.
Yes,
he's been waiting for someone to pick that up.
He's got nothing left. His staff is out and his pockets are dust.
You made his day now, Jack.
I'm very happy. Well done, Jackie.
You made
well
his done. Day. So we were talking about the fees.
So the fees, but you know, it is competitive. Like real estate's competitive, sales and property management. People are always trying to banter and this and that. And they'll set false expectations as well. And they'll say, oh, well, I'll rent it for $600.
Yep.
And I'm saying $580 or something. I'm like, that's already high. Like, go for it. And I like to watch it online come down.
We come down,
petty. anyway, so yeah, the percentage. So
percentage, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything
it needs
else?
To be 50. If they are not making $1,500 per year for your management,
they're literally losing
they're
money.
They're losing money. Yeah. They're going out of business. They're selling around the
Is there a lot of variance on lease renewal fees? Like, is it 1 week? Is it a week and a half? Is it a week?
Well, they did a campaign as well recently, and most of them, I think it was like 88 people out of 100 was 1 week plus GST.
Wait, 1.1?
1 week.
1 week plus GST. Yeah. And then there was like six of them that did half a week. And then
Half a week.
Jesus. Yeah. And then the other, whatever that is, six, 2 weeks plus GST.
Okay.
Yeah,
right. So for people listening, it's basically when you get your lease renewed for a different client or a different tenant.
Leasing. Yeah.
Yeah, leasing.
Fresh lease.
There's a fresh lease.
Yeah, yeah.
Your property manager will charge you up, obviously the percentage of the rent, but there is a leasing fee, which is a week or a week and a half or 2 weeks. So just check that.
My big point here, guys, and why I want to come back to this and why it is super important is like I've always been someone – actually, this is what is really funny. And people always ask me – like people try and call bullshit on me. They're like, there's no way you've never made an insurance claim. I've been investing now for 14 – I'm in my 15th year. I've been investing for over 14 years. Mm. I have never made an insurance claim on a property.
Impressive.
Never.
And I've got over 40 properties, over 55, 60-odd rentals in the portfolio. I've never made a claim. Mm. And then people will talk to me about, this guy's charging too much. And it's like, mate, where is the headspace when you got to make an insurance claim and then you got vacancy and you got the cleaning and then you got the release and you got the insurance company and all the bullshit involved with that?
Yeah. So you're saying a claim against the tenant. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like a landlord's insurance claim, right? And it's like, it comes back to picking the right property manager, not the cheapest rate. And that's the biggest thing. If you go for the cheapest rate, guarantee you're going to get burned. Guarantee you.
You're going to get burned. You're not going to get them on the phone. You're going to call them. They're not going to answer. You're not going to get back to you. You're going to be like, where's my money? Where's this? There's no communication.
But I think this is an error a lot of people start. This, like, I know I'm harping on about this, guys, but it's an error that people make at the start. They get fixated on that rate and they get burned. And then you have it all the time. People come back and they go, oh, fuck, I'll pay anything sort of thing for you to take this thing on.
Interesting. So I'll tell you about, and I love this client. So he called me. He came through another buyer's agent.
Okay.
Unrecommended advisor. Yeah.
Much better looking one.
Yeah.
Gandalf fights back.
Gandalf, the dust is out of his pockets. He's cracking the wand. He's done, but he's done. You wait, guys. Yeah, go on, Jackie.
On site. So it was unit complex. I don't do a lot of units. So on-site manager charging 5.5.
Okay, so hang on a sec. We've just found the first fault. You saw the bull shark slash, and I've got the guy on the jetty. I've got him on the jetty. He's taking him out. Unit.
Terrible. I think he's got more properties than you.
Yeah. Good luck. Yeah. Well, that shows the quality of all of his buying his units. Fucking have fun with that,
Jackie,
mate.
Has just thrown some burly in the water, ladies and gentlemen.
Have fun with all those units and all the strata.
Just a hint at who it could be.
Yeah. But, no, I know exactly who it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway. on-site manager. I built this really nice rapport with him, and we're bonding. He's like, Jackie, I don't want to pay your fees. And this deal, because he came to me with the deal when it was unconditional. He's like, this is a shit deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is not a good deal. So
do you want me to reiterate shit buyer's agent? It's a unit, it's not even a good deal. Fucking kill me now.
Yeah, we made a good deal with our rent increases though. So
she can do everything.
She can negotiate the price after it's settled. Yeah.
So 5.5 on-site manager.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm just gonna go with her. I really want to come back to you eventually.
Okay.
And then he calls me. So April, he must have called me in like 6-8 months later. Yeah, yeah. And he's like, this unit's 5 years old. Bleeding me with maintenance.
Yes.
Aircon repairs, pressure washing. The on-site manager's charging him for pressure washing on the front patio.
Yeah, right.
Oh. And I was like, without approval, and none of this is approval.
Yeah.
Garage door's gone. This light's gone. Trim the hedges. This, you know, it's all adding up. Who does the on-site stuff? Mm. Her husband.
Sounds like a great investment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great investment.
Unbelievable. Why don't we give out those details, that buyer's agent, Jackie, if they're so fucking good?
So the husband was doing...
Oh, someone's offended.
Husband, yeah, I know. He's not going to let that go. He's not going to let that go. He's circling. He's still...
Keep going.
So, yeah, bought it for like 308 or something. It was rented for like 310 at the time.
Great investment. Yeah, so
and Strata.
We've increased it to 400.
Okay.
Oh, no, 460.
Okay.
We increased it to 400.
Yep.
And then now we're just increased again to 460.
Nice work.
So it's all right. Nice work. Yeah. But yeah, and guess what? Since we've managed it, no maintenance.
Wow.
Wow. None of this fake maintenance. But 100% was fake because there was like no photos of, and we went through and it's like.
Bullshit,
like,
eh?
This is not to put people off about property investing, right? But what I am taking out of this is that there are people that are going to be out of the industry trying to take advantage of you where in any industry or whatever you're doing. You just got to have your wits about you. And if you smell a rat, then, you know, you look into it like, what's going on? That didn't sound right from the start, you know? So, and the husband's making a cut. I mean, come on, man.
And this is something actually that I'm very diligent about in WA, right? So, like, it's a state where they have, you know, you might be able to get 6.6, 7.7, 8.8% management fee, plus there's all these fees that come with it, right? Yep. What we always negotiate for our clients is a flat fee, everything included rate. And it's because when you get everything on top, the rate actually turns into like a 20% management fee. It's ludicrous how expensive it is. But when you go the all-inclusive and you have a good relationship and you've got multiple, like we obviously have multiple relationships with a huge amount of properties with all these guys, we can carve it right back down to a all-inclusive management rate. But people go, oh, but the all-inclusive might be say 9 or 10%. But I can get it for 6.6. And I was like, yeah, bro, where's all your other costs? And they go, oh, well, there's these. And WA is a shocker for having that management fee. And then literally they'll charge you for everything. Yeah, I thought about your property last night. I'm charging you $500, mate, all right? Like, man, I'm not kidding. It is ludicrous the amount of shit. I thought about you. You're hot. Jimmy, you're hot. I want the dust in your pockets. You made me think about you at 250, you dog. You know what I mean? Like,
what
seriously,
do they actually
man?
Charge? I'm curious.
Everything.
I've heard, and this is why I want to open a WA office because I'm like, this sounds nice.
Yes.
So
you heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first.
My suburban WA realty.
Okay.
Don't know any. Fremantle. So they charge like the entry condition report that's covered with the letting fee, that initial letting fee we talked about, $295.
Yeah.
Plus the letting fee's 2 weeks. Plus they got to go again and take photos or whatever. Yep. And that's so many. I've seen the
it's
fees.
It's everything.
They sound like
it's
a bank.
It's everything. Seriously. Yeah. Banks aren't as bad as that.
Well, this is
what I'm getting at when it comes to fees. Just be diligent on what you're working with. Don't get duped on this shit. Look very clear what's in your management agreement as well. Obviously, guys, one other thing to round this out comes down to if it's a good person, especially if it's been someone that's been recommended by you. Mm. I don't lightly bring on someone onto my show that's a property manager. Obviously, we bring someone on that we trust with our own properties and what we do ourselves. I literally wouldn't have brought anyone on if I didn't have Jackie because I don't trust anyone in the same vein. And that's just being dead honest with you guys in the way that I operate.
Thank you. I did want to, but you waffled too long. It's gone.
Fuck you. I love it. I like her even more.
Hold on.
Give her a raise. Wow. Give her an extra percent for that.
Oh, what I will say, this okay. is, it's come back.
Is that a waffle? I'm literally giving you a compliment. Producer, cut that last bit. Cut the compliment. It's done.
This is great.
It's done. A compliment. I want to listen to it.
I've never had to do it before because Jimmy never gets a compliment.
I think Jackie has upgraded herself to resident podcaster on the show.
Oh, that's fun.
Someone said she's better looking than you, so we might keep her on more often.
Yes, it's not hard.
You're talking again.
Can you imagine dealing with this?
So there's a big push in the industry. about raising the fees. So huge push at the moment. Everyone, they're saying that WA is the benchmark. They're pushing that's where it's going because also during COVID, 40% of property managers left the industry. 40%.
Yeah.
So that's the...
You want to know what the issue with WA is? I understood when WA was expensive, in my mind, back when we first entered the market in late 2020 because rents were so low.
Yes.
And then as the vacancy rate was shrinking and tightening, all of a sudden, like there's properties that we bought that were renting in the 200s that are now 500 a week. Mm. Mate, you're getting twice as much rent. Your management fee doesn't need to be the same.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's where it should be coming back, if anything.
Which is why Melbourne and Sydney is traditionally always lower, right?
Yeah.
Because the rents are higher.
Yeah, the rents are higher. But like at the moment, you know, it was a period there for 5 or 6 years after 2013, mini blip with the mining boom back then. You know, vacancy rates blew out massively. Mm. Rents dropped massively. It was a lot harder to actually lease a property. I understand that they charged a high amount during that period. Now most of the city's sitting under 1% vacancy. They can rent a property in a week. The rents are twice as high. Relax, guys. Bring them back. If you bring it back to a national standard, I'll bring out a bloody agency as a property management. Jackie's going to head it and we're going to fuck you all. So.
Bull Shark Realty.
There you go. The bully. The bully. Shut up, you. Cut your head. Mate, you look a little rat.
See, the little burly, little, there you go, fashion.
I'm angry, Sam.
Yeah. Doesn't take much.
Brought it out of me, mate. Brought it out of me. Logan in has got me.
Mate, straight out of the, you just put the little bit of burly in, he jumped straight out of the water.
All right, moving on.
What else do we have other than, so we've spoken about fees, we've spoken about lease renewal. What else would you be looking at if you were asking your
average days on market?
Average days.
How do you get them to prove that?
Realestate.com. You can actually go to realestate.com, which is the main portal everyone lists on.
Yep.
But if you go to the agency function, you can go in there and see the average days for like units, which is like a granny, and then houses, and then like acreage even. So you can see the average days.
Okay,
that's great.
For them, for that agency.
For the agency, yeah. Cool.
So you can tell them, can you give us a download of that or print that off and send me that or whatever?
No, you can just do it on realestate.com yourself.
You go search that agency.
Just go agency and then look at them. So I like to monitor mine, obviously. Good.
That's actually a really good one.
It's a very good one.
That's a gem. That is the definition of a gem.
You've never needed to do it because I refer you to the best.
Well, that's true. Almost.
There you go.
What a head. So can you just, because we went over that really quickly, for people listening, how do you find that?
Realestate.com and then it says like rent, sold, whatever, agency.
Yes.
Agency.
It's one of the headers.
Click on, agency. Go in there.
Hot tip of the week, guys. Hot tip of the week, right here. Coming in fast.
Type in
gold.
You know, say
at Logan Realty.
My Logan Realty.
Sorry. I told you I don't even know who's managing my shit. I don't have to think about it.
Sam, this is Jackie.
Jackie. Hi, Jackie. Nice to meet you.
I got 15 of your properties.
Oh, yeah. My Logan Realty.
But yeah, go in, type the agency. Yeah, and like, for example, if your property's in Woodridge or whatever, you can see what everyone's days on market are.
Yeah, and how long it takes to sell that property.
Okay,
yeah.
That is perfect.
Because it's in low.
Average days on market. What else, Jack?
Average days on market.
Yeah. Anything else that you would... What about dealing with maintenance? Mm. Like just their processes around
topic.
That. Yeah, because it is a big thing. And I think the reason why I bring this up is that...
Hang on, is that a sore point? Can you give us a bit of an insight into Jimmy?
What, that he doesn't do maintenance?
Oh, you tied us.
He's one of those landlords.
You tied us. He's got nothing in his pockets.
Yes.
It's dust. How do you want me to pay for it, Jackie? It's dust.
Yeah, and I'm old. I can't use a computer.
I'll come to Jimmy with a list of 15 things and we're like, delay.
Jackie, choose your top three. You got three? Can I explain my strategy, right? And this is, everyone's different, right? I find.
Is this the Lebanese or the Italian?
It's a bit of both.
Okay, yes. It's a hybrid. It's a mix.
It's the mix. I find some tenants, and it really depends on the tenant, right? And I find that people will come to you with all sorts of things. And not saying you, but I know you're forwarding it from the tenant. Now, there's a fine line between taking the piss and there's also things that are urgent, right?
Yep.
And I find that somehow, sometimes people think like I'm investing in a property. It's costing me money to hold and I choose to invest in it. I'm happy to do the maintenance, but if I'd like to stretch people out a little bit just to make sure this is really urgent or they really need it. Because if you jump on the first minute you send me something, this needs to be fixed and I do it, this tenant's thinking, this dude's going to fix everything. Mm. So all of a sudden they want a paint job, they want a pergola. So I like to just stretch them out a little bit.
Yeah.
And the difference between... Not physically. But depends on the tenor. But to see how important it is, because sometimes it's really their fault too. Some of these maintenance issues.
So the tricky thing about this, and I'll let Jackie go for one sec here, but like the tricky thing is sometimes when that starts, right, I think it's how you actually handle it when that first kicks off. Because sometimes you don't know that a tenor's going to be good. You think they're going to be good, and then sometimes they come straight in and they're just trying to take the piss. Yeah. So I think it's how you... I would always take it case by case of what actually needs to be done at the very start. I'm someone to kind of stonewall things at the very start. They don't need to be done because I don't want to show someone that I'll do everything. But if something needs to be fixed, if it's something that actually needs to be rectified, I never have an issue fixing something.
Yeah, fair enough.
But then if it's outside of that, if it's someone, they move in, oh, we want an aircon, we want ceiling fans. Like, mate, you leased it as is. Come back to me in 12 months and we'll put the rent up and I'll cover it to cost that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's my favorite. Yeah. Like when people ask for improvements, I love it because I'm like, okay, well, how much are you going to pay extra per week? Yeah. And sometimes we've had $60 a week on aircon.
I was actually going to say, I remember we did a deal, Holly's. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I was going to say, I was pretty sure it was Holly's.
Rented at that same amount.
Yeah, and you put the rent up because they wanted aircons. So no worries.
Yeah, we got $390 on the granny as well.
How good.
That's $1,190.
There you go, guys.
Actually,
manufactured cash flow deals straight hot off the press. APS classic.
I want to come back to the granny because when we're leasing a property, actually, let's talk about it now. So if someone, one of our investors is doing a granny deal, people get a bit confused as to the rent and the lease and how do you let the people know that we're going to build something? So how do you manage that?
Yeah, it's all just by negotiation. So essentially, the worst time to advertise a property for rent is when you're building the granny. It's better when it's already established it's very transparent because there can be issues with like, oh, where's the fencing? Where's this?
Yeah.
So preference is obviously try not to take it to the market while you're building. Once it's built, it's done. It is what it is.
But even in that sense, right, you go for a reduced rent on something like that because you want to have that income coming in if you can during that period. So even 100%. If you just go a reduced rent and you go, whatever, we'll do a six-month lease. We understand something's going out the back. This is to compensate the inconvenience. Yeah. But at the same time, if you can get that person in there renting at the same time, then that's ideal, right?
It has to be rented. Yeah. Like, honestly, we're not going to leave it vacant 100%. For 4 months. So, but they're always tenanted. Yeah. And it's just a conversation. Often it will be in the lease underlying for a while.
Yes.
Like yours. And then they're underlying and then pull the trigger, it's here.
Yeah. And the first thing is we fence it off.
Yeah.
People know that it's coming. We fence it off so there's no interruption to them. Yep. They know what they're going to get.
Yes.
We rent out the back. Offset.
Provide them.
Give them a little bit of a discount at the front.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting back to the maintenance, and I think this will be helpful for a lot of our listeners because everyone, we always talk about the glamorous side of property, right? And to be fair, some of my properties, they have had their fair sense of issues. I've had to reseal some bathrooms, which cost me like nearly $4,000 for that. Mm. We had to cut up a driveway because there were some old pipes that cost me probably $3,000. That is part and parcel of the biz, right?
Yeah. So, and do you remember something I've always spoken about is normally those first 12 months, which each of these deals was first 12 months.
That's
get these teething issues that happen with the property and it's part and parcel of the journey and of the deal.
That's right.
You've got to hack this shit. If you want to do this and you want to play this game, well, we always talk about playing this game because you are playing the game of investing. This is part and parcel of it. Don't be naive. It's part of the journey.
So I suppose, that's just for people to, this is a real life. This happens, right? This happens. And we've had some water issues with some, this just happens. I mean, it's just part and parcel of it.
Yeah, well, have expectation that it's going to happen and budget, like good over one. Budget.
You have know, the five, expectation.
Six, 7K set aside or that's the cost. Mm. If it comes in under that, you're winning.
Yeah.
It just expect that it's going to happen. Because I do have owners that get emotionally attached to it. It's like, oh, that dishwasher's, not even that old. I just remembered your dishwasher hasn't been replaced.
There is a house there, just so that everyone knows. Someone's living under a tarp, some poles.
That's Jimmy. He's actually living in Mordor under a tarp.
Yeah,
so I'm going to be on the worst landlord's list. Australia's worst landlord.
You already are.
Thanks, Jack. She's coming on the show. She's not. Behind you.
Oh, mate, I'm sweet. Oh, you tight ass.
Expect that there's going to be problems. And then obviously go into it like you guys do your checks. You know what you're coming in for. And you know that there's another one is pools. Make sure you check in pools properly. When you're buying the property, because they can often like come back, oh, the pool liner needs to be done. Like we've had a couple of big ones, but it's like that's
we wouldn't fair to be saying we wouldn't buy pools, would you?
Like, it kind of depends, man. I've got a couple of pools in the portfolio.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Yeah, and sometimes like if you're buying a good solid bread and butter, and you know you're only going to hold it for 3 or 4 years and flip the owner occupied demand of it. If you can buy it for a bit of a steal and then sell it at a premium with a nice pool with a nice area at the back, man, I've done very well out of that before in the past. Okay. All right, Jackie, final piece here. Any final points of what you'd ask? Hit him as quick.
I think it's important to have that bond as well when you're speaking to them, and be mindful of like who owns the business. If you get a bond with a BDM or business development manager, you're not going to deal with them. So make sure you have that bond, because ideally you want to have that person in your life,
in your corner,
for the next 10 to 15 years.
Well, I've actually always been a big advocate of that. If I feel really good when I speak to someone at first, like before I start working with them, if I have a really good, if I feel like I've built rapport quite quickly with them as well, I know it's someone I'm going to be able to go back to and kind of call out if I need to, if anything goes wrong. And that's always worked really well in my favor as well. So it's a great point.
Does that link into how you would like to be spoken to from landlords?
Like, 100%. Like that? Yeah. Because it's like it's a hard enough job as it is without, you know, C-class owners getting, you know, giving you a hard time about things all the time. So I'm very selective at this point of, I won't take on managements because it's like my time and energy is too valuable. I want to deal with people who treat it like a business and not emotional. That's the worst type of owner.
And treat you with respect, and you're working together.
Respect is a massive thing here, guys. What you got to remember, what'd you say?
she took a clip on the way out. She took a little swipe.
What was it? I missed it.
I said, that's the worst type of owner other than Jimmy.
I'm glad I went back.
You might be in the shark category, Jax. You might put you in the, you're taking over after the bull shark, taking a little bite on the way out.
I think the people are going to want to hear her a little bit more because she has a good crack, mate. That was good. That was good. Well done, Jackie. Well done.
Now we're getting towards the end.
We are. I've got a couple of final things. Funny stories. I want to know, Jackie, I want you to give me like a horror story. I want you to give me a funny story. Hit me with a couple of things just to round out the app.
All right. All right. I got a good one. So it wasn't actually personally me, but it was even better when he came back and told the story in the office.
Okay.
So
is this the funny or this is the horror?
Bit of both.
Bit of both.
Okay. A bit like Jimmy's face. Funny and fucking horror to look at. Go on, Jackie.
So this guy had to go out and do a routine inspection. This tenant's got agoraphobia, which is essentially like afraid to go outside, afraid of sunlight. I feel like he'd called the office before and preempted them that, hey, I'm not going to be home.
The guy's agoraphobic, that never leaves home, isn't going to be home.
That was a red flag.
That is a red flag.
So anyway,
She's astute, this one. She's picked it up.
He went out to do the routine inspection. There's a letter on the kitchen bench saying, hey, there's a bit of maintenance here. Yep. And also, please do not go into the linen cupboard. It'll be against my privacy. Okay. I've got something very private in there.
Okay.
So what does he do? Obviously, you've got to check
it. 100% going to check it. I'm going to check it.
He goes and checks it. And the tenant's in the linen cupboard.
Well, he's just hiding in there.
He's just hiding in there waiting for him. It was a test of his trust.
And no way.
Yeah, it was a test and he failed.
Wow. What did he do? Did he go, like he jumped
on him? You would shit yourself. Would you not?
You would punch him. What are you doing?
I don't even know what he did, but it was just a gold star. And I was like,
that's good. That's a funny in a horror. I'd be like Jimmy's head. Like, what else have we got? You told me once about an NRAS story back when you were in NRAS,
NRAS, which is like essentially
National Rental Affordability Scheme.
Yep.
Very good.
Cheap rents. Boompa.
Something. There we go. So looked after this whole complex in Callanvale, which is a pretty good kind of area, like owner occupier area. And there was this tenant in there that was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia.
Okay.
Who's terrorizing all the neighbors. And every Monday I'd come in, I'd get 15 calls. Jackie, you got to get rid of him. But he's on a lease, so there's nothing we can do.
Okay.
So what we ended up doing was come to like a mutual agreement and tell him to move out. Because he was going up to the neighbors with knives in his hand and banging on the security doors.
Jesus.
Like really. And this is very frustrating. So the police would come out all the time. The police said, well, you need to call your property manager. We can't do anything.
What?
And then I actually cried when I called the police about it because they're like, oh, we can't do anything. You have to do it. I'm like, he's on a lease for another 9 months. What can I do?
Yeah,
incredibly frustrated with the system and that. Ended up mutually. So I took those knives.
You took those knives.
With a gun.
And then 4 years later, she came out of prison and now she...
so it was very aggressive. So we ended up mutually terminating the lease. But I did call him dude once when I was trying to negotiate with him. And he came into the office and abused me for calling him dude. He's like, I'm not your dude. I'm not your man. This isn't a joke. So anyway, ended up moving. Complex lives happily ever after.
Right.
And gave him a great rental reference. No.
He didn't come in with a knife into the office, did he?
No.
It was a butter knife. He was looking for a bread and butter. I've heard you guys do the bread and butter deals. Where's my next one?
Jeez. All right, Jax.
I've got a funny one. I want to throw one in for me. Go on. It was I came to mind because it happened with a actually one of the boys in the team, one of his properties. This week he got a call on the Sunday and it was the cops going, "Hey mate, just letting you know, there's been a disturbance at your house. We had to shut the street off for 12 hours. Some random dude, wasn't even a tenant, climbed on the roof naked and was just like dancing around like full Starkers, just like dancing around, singing and carrying on. And the tenants woke up to this guy on the roof dancing around naked and called the cops, and they closed it for 12 hours to try and get this dude off the roof. So
that is insane.
Yeah.
Well, these things happen, right?
I had a busy Sunday, but you know, what can I say? Like, I was fucking a big Saturday night.
You should never be naked in public.
Never be naked, ever. Do us all a favour.
Oh, Jax, I think this has been awesome.
This has been great.
For our listeners out there, true tips from the professional when it comes to property management.
The best in the biz, guys. The best in the biz. Guys, if you enjoyed the episode, write in, let us know. We'll get Jackie back on for another one. If you didn't like it, let us know. We'll never put her back on the show. Some of you might be offended that she ripped Jimmy. Most of you will probably absolutely love it and wanted to be the new co-host. Regardless,
I'm looking
guys,
for a new property manager. If anyone knows.
Well, who'd you say? C-class, and then Jimmy's be under that.
I'll take any class.
Yeah, you told me that before.
No, they're all good.
Jackie, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Jax.
Woo-hoo, thanks for having me. Thanks, guys.
No worries at all. Guys, thank you once again for tuning in to another Scouting Australia podcast episode. If you took great value from this and you think someone else could take great value from property management and learning how to properly ask questions of how to select the right property manager, if you are renting within Brisbane, if you have properties in Brisbane, I would strongly recommend to reach out to Jackie Skeen at My Lurgan Realty. She is the best in the biz. Mention Scouting Australia podcast. She might even give you a bit of a discount. She'll at least take your call as an absolute minimum. She is the best in the biz, guys. I say that wholeheartedly. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you want to leave us a review, if you haven't left us a review yet, jump on there. Leave us a 5-star review.
Maybe you won't get a discount if you don't leave a review.
Maybe.
I'll check it. I will check it.
Cross-reference. 5-star
review. Screenshot the testimonial and the review. Send it to Jackie. She's going to look after you. There you go. Yep. How's
that's
that?
A good yep. one.
You promise?
That's a good one.
Yeah, I promise. Yep.
Thank you very much.
Does this cross over the kickback?
There's no kickback, bro. I don't get anything. No, it's them getting a discount. Or it's like a what are you? I don't even know what you call that. What's a referral?
Kickback? No.
Some we'll talk about our kickback later.
Yeah. That one. Jimmy, you arsehole.
No, give us a good review. You should. Yeah, I mean, you get looked after.
I hope you enjoyed it, guys. Another great episode. Until next week, guys. Another Scouting Australia podcast episode. We'll see you soon.